Today I'm on location in the nation's capital. My guest is the one and only Diane Reeves. Thank you, Ms. Reeves, for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
I really appreciate your patience and your understanding and your time. I know your time is very, very precious, and we won't hold you not a minute longer than we need to. I'd like to start out by asking you to take us back to the very early days, your experience with Clark Terry and what Clark Terry has meant to you and your career.
Well, first of all, I met Clark Terry in Chicago at the National Association of Jazz Educators, which is now international. And he heard me because my high school band won a citywide competition in Denver and basically took me under his wing. It was wonderful working with Clark because that was my introduction and my first experience of working with great musicians. And so I knew what it was like to work with quality musicians. So that was the thing that I would always look for in my career as I grew. And the other thing was Clark is a master at whetting the appetite of young, you know, aspiring musicians and vocalists.
Do you think that you would have gone on to star in the music profession as you have without Clark Terry?
Probably, because my uncle, who was the beginning, when my parents found out that I could sing, my uncle's a jazz bassist and is also with the Denver Symphony, he took me under his wing. So I've always, I view jazz as my foundation. I view myself as a vocalist. But jazz as my foundation has been the thing that has allowed me to, you know, experience and do all kinds of music. Because I would have to say that this new album, Quiet After the Storm, is a more definitive jazz record. Things that I've done in the past, like the Never Too Far album or the Diane Reeves album, I wouldn't really consider. They have elements of jazz, but they're not jazz, pure jazz records.
This particular compact disc that you alluded to, Quiet After the Storm, mm-hmm. Is there any cut on that selection that really, really says it all? And when I say it all, I mean really captures the true essence of Diane Reeves.
I think it has to do with the record as a whole, because there are many different places that I go to musically. So I couldn't really say that there's one song. The one thing that I've been able to have in my musical career is the ability to work with a lot of different people in different genres of music. And those different things have really been influences and become a great part of what I do. So when I take a song to do it and I listen to it and I figure out what I'm going to do with it, sometimes it's those colors that I've been exposed to. They are the framework for the arrangement of the song or the writing, composing of the song. So they're, you know, when you listen to the record, you have to listen to it as a whole.
Let's talk about George Duke, mm-hmm. Your experience with George Duke. Tell us a little bit about the impact that he's had on your life.
Well, I moved to Los Angeles, California in 1976, and George is also a family member. He's my cousin, and more than anything, he was more like a godfather when I first got there, because he really was accessible to me and took care of things that were going on that maybe I didn't even know about, but very supportive and always there. And it wasn't until 1987 that I felt that I was ready to be produced by him. So I went to him, and we ended up on Blue Note Records, to make a long story short. And the one thing that I love about George Duke is the fact that he will go way beyond the finish line to make sure that whatever he's producing, the artist that he's producing, has the best that they can possibly have. The other special thing that I always say is that he has this wonderful ability, and it's probably because of his broad background in music. I mean, he's played all kinds of music and still remains very current in the understanding of music. But I think he has this ability to produce each artist, and they have their own unique sound. It's not the George Duke sound. It's the George Duke quality, but it's not, He doesn't impose any kind of sound on you. He wants to bring out the best in you. So when you work with him, you totally trust him, at least I do. And I find myself going to places emotionally and musically just as an experiment or an experience and without any problem, because George is like right there, and it's always a wonderful union when we come together to make music.
Let's stay on that track a bit longer, and Big Band and Cannonball Adderley, your experience and your feelings toward Cannonball.
Well, George actually worked with Cannonball as well, and when we were working on this record, we decided to do a song of Cannonball's, and we picked this one, Country Preacher. And the one thing that's really special about Cannon is the fact that he played his roots. You know, you always heard his roots in his playing, no matter how complex, you know, how big the sound, the roots were always there, and it was very, very special. Also, there was an imagery that you would see, that you could see it in your mind, of a place and a time and a period in African American history that he was able to interpret on his horn. So, and he was a very positive person, you know, the things that he would say from the stage to motivate, educate, and uplift people. And we decided to do Country Preacher and write lyrics to the imagery that he would inspire in our minds. And so we did that, and then as the process went on, I was out of town doing some gigs, and the idea came to maybe put Cannonball on the record. And George, with his vast knowledge of, you know, musical electronics, and, you know, he just always can figure out a way to do things. And he put Cannonball on it. And Cannonball plays the whole thing, so people say that he gives a ghostly appearance, as well as the audience. So it's really reflective of a period and a time in America when people were struggling together to make a wonderful one common goal. And I think that a lot of that was in Cannon's music, so it was, to me, just very appropriate to pay tribute to such a spirit.
Country preacher clears his throat. Say, brothers and sisters,
Let me take you to inner city America, mm-hmm. and let's talk about role models. Mm-hmm. You yourself, an outstanding talent, musically and otherwise. How do you transfer the imagery of the professionalism that you exude on stage and off stage? How do you communicate that to inner city youth, or not just not necessarily inner city youth, but how do you portray that to the vast number of people who watch you and admire you, and turn that into a positive form
well,
that they can emulate?
Yeah, well, musically, it's through my lyrics. I mean, I'm moved to write lyrics that are uplifting, healing, forgiving. Lyrics that talk about a period and a time, once again, like canon, when there was a great deal of unity and working together and a coming together of communities and families. Because I do think that, you know, that family is a very, very important thing. And also the importance of, you know, you've always heard this saying, the Yoruba saying, that it takes a whole village to raise a child. I'm also inspired by my family, because my family is like a village. As I said earlier, when I first started singing, my mother and father, you know, only playing the records, and that was the extent of, you know, how they played music, knew that it was important for me to be with someone in the village that played the music. So they had me with my uncle. And that has happened in our family all the time. And I think once you have that in your family, you extend it into your neighborhood and your community, you'll find that maybe there are things that you don't have, but, you know, someone down the street might have them. But we have to begin to trust and forgive a lot of things that have happened in the past of ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves for not trusting one another and, you know, just change. So in answer to the rest of your question, one of the things that I try to do is make myself accessible and go into these schools and allow these young people to talk to me. You know, I think the greatest role models that any young person should have is their parents, and parents have to take that responsibility and not look to entertainers, athletes, and all of these other people to be the role model for your child, because basically everything that I think that I've learned in my life that is most important, I've gotten from my parents, you know. And so I know that the parent role is very important. However, once the child gets out there and there are people out there, like in my life, there were always people along the road that inspired me to go on and were there to answer questions or to help me make a way or a decision or what have you. And that's the way it should be.
Today I'm on location in Washington, D.C. My guest is the one and only Ms. Diane Reeves. We've been discussing, among other things, her early experiences with Mr. Clark Terry, and a little bit about her new release, Quiet After the Storm, and about some of the other issues that are pertinent to American contemporary society. Ms. Reeves, I want to go back and talk briefly about your music. How has your music changed from the early days to the present? And what's been the most profound change musically?
Well, I would have to say that right now, you know, the most profound change is, well, I'll go back to the beginning. You know, there was a point where, you know, the music and my stage appearances was one thing, and in my life was another. And I used to not be able to, and it's still kind of hard for me to look and listen to myself. Excuse me, but there was a point where my voice, my music abilities were kind of like the mask, and I could get up on the stage just like any actor or whatever and get up there and sing. Not that I didn't mean it, but it was just that thing, like being behind a pair of shades, that allowed me to do more things than I would do when I felt exposed off the stage. And I think the most profound change is that Diane Reeves the singer and Diane Reeves the person are one and the same now. And a lot of that, you know, for me, my music has been like a journey. And after I did the last record, Art and Survival, which was a very revealing record, and that was my spirit and my soul without any kind of naked, I should say, on that record. Once that happened, it gave me a lot of confidence, and I realized that sometimes the things in your mind aren't what's really, really out there. You know, sometimes you can have, you know, certain fears of things, and once you face them, then you're all right, you know.
Really? Yeah. What could you be fearful of?
I mean, like anybody. I mean, I have, you know, there are things that I used to feel very inhibited about, without going into specifics. You know, just there are things that happen in one's life that, you know, that I guess kind of color a lot of your decisions, and whatever they may be, you know. And I think for me, at one point, you know, there was a certain kind of acceptance of myself and my art and empowerment, even as a woman, that I had to be able to stand up in. You know, sometimes in this industry, you're out there, you're working, you're doing a lot of stuff, and you're spending a lot of time, you know, in the business, and it doesn't give way for a lot of time for other things, you know. And I think for me, you know, I realize that this is what I do, this is what I love to do. I'm going to have to stand strong in it, own it, and see what happens, because I know that God knows the desires of my heart, you know. And so once I did that, once I let go of a lot of my, you know, little things that were, or big things that were, you know, that have always kind of been with me all my life, there was another kind of confidence. And, you know, I could say that another way of describing it is my music and me personally have matured. The music has matured, and there are things that I select to do when I'm interpreting a song that are really based on the interpretation of the lyric, more so than making, you know, I guess, you know, other kind of changes. I think that the music is just a lot more centered, and I feel my life is a lot more centered now.
So can we say that musically you're at peace with yourself?
Musically and personally, you know, yes, very much so.
Just tell us about that particular song. I mean, what does it mean to you, the song Better Days?
Well, I've been singing that song since 1981, because I recorded it on my very first album for Palo Alto, and then I recorded it again on the Diane Reeves album. So I've been singing it for a long time. And I have to say that, you know, people have asked me, don't you ever get tired of it? And I have to tell them no, because, you know, it's almost like an affirmation. As I continue to grow, I hear other things in it, you know, that really inspire me. I even realized that, you know, that my grandmother is one of those who came before, is like an ancestor. You know, she is that. And the fact that I can talk about her in the song makes people think of those who came before them, immediately before them, and how they've inspired their lives. So the power of ancestry now helps, you know, to guide my life, and it makes me see, wow, you know, you must always remember, you must always talk about the stories and the experiences that you had, keep these people alive, just like the records of, you know, the record recording ancestors. So for me, when I sing Better Days, I get different things out of it. And the other thing is, you know, people always come up to me and say, you know, I really like that song. It wasn't my grandmother, it was my mother. It wasn't my mother, it was my aunt or a sister, or my uncle was like that or whatever. People fit in, whoever it is. And to me, that song was truly a gift from God, that it could touch people in so many different ways.
As a point of personal privilege, we'll take a listen to that very beautiful song, Better Days, by my guest, Diane Reeves.
Silver gray hair, neatly combed in place. There were four generations of love on her face. She was so wise, no surprise past her eyes. She had seen it all. I was a child, or about three or four. All day I'd ask questions and she pulled up that old rocking chair once again. But tonight she was slightly, remarkably different somehow. Slowly she rocked, looking half asleep. Grandma yawned as she stretched, then she started to speak. What she told me would mold me and hold me together inside. Yeah. She said, all the things you ask, you will know someday, but you have got to live in a patient way. God put us here by faith, and by faith there be these better days.
Very, very beautiful song, Better Days, as performed by Diane Reeves, my guest today on Like It Is. As we run toward the end of this program, Ms. Reeves, maybe a couple or two points. I want to read you a quote from you as taken from a written interview. Mm-hmm. It says, quote, "Either you can do what it takes to just make singing a business, or you can try to split the difference, be an artist, and hope that people find you." Please explain that particular statement to our audience, and have audiences found you? I believe I know the answer to that latter point.
Yeah, I think so. I think what I was saying is to thine own self be true. For me, it's been a long road, and it's been a wonderful road of no regrets. I've been able to develop my own sound, my own way of approaching the music, and also find an audience at the same time. But at the same time, it's also given me a great deal of strength so that I haven't had to compromise. And that's what I mean by, you know, the compromise. Because sometimes there might be something that's really, really strong in your heart, but there might be something over to the right that's really shiny and gold. And you have to figure out, you know, do you want the shiny gold thing or do you want what's in your heart? And it's not to say that either side is the wrong thing to choose. It's just that you have to make up your mind, and whatever you choose, you have to own it. You have to say, this is my decision, this is what I did, and go on with it. And I guess that's basically what that statement is saying.
as we end this particular program, let me thank my guest today, Ms. Diane Reeves. Thank you, Ms. Reeves, for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.